Welcome back, everyone. In today's episode of It's Her Game, I'll have a great pleasure to talk to the amazing woman, Irina Chugai, head of tournament marketing at WePlay Esports. But we couldn't have this conversation without mentioning the circumstances in which it's been planned and recorded. The ongoing war Russia has started in Ukraine. Over the past month, I had a chance to work with the WePlay team, and I admire the dedication, professionalism, and passion for esports. We have been planning this recording for a few weeks. The weeks back when the word war was in our part of the world, rather a concept, something we might have known from the arcane of our history, but definitely something we wouldn't have to, you know, take under consideration in planning our work or our future. And at this point, I'd like to express my support for all the people of Ukraine who are fighting for their country and their lives. The whole world is with you. And now let's focus on what's positive in this world. The passionate people who strive to achieve the most despite sometimes unfavorable circumstances. I'd like to introduce one more time Irina Chugai, head of tournament marketing at WePlay Esports, who has been involved in organizing the most viewed tournaments in the history of Dota 2, hosted by WePlay Esports, the WePlay Book of El Minor, and WePlay Animator, and was one of the initiators of the WeSave Charity Play online marathon. So a lengthy introduction, but I hope I did the justice to all your achievement of the career so far at WePlay. And welcome, Irina. Great having you here.
Thank you, Dominika. Thanks for your words of support. We do really appreciate that the whole world and you two are with us and stand with Ukraine. It is very supportive for us, and so we do really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes, it means a lot for us to see how you're dealing with that, and we're fully support. And today, I hope we'll have the chance to speak about something that you're passionate about, professional wise. And to start with, could you tell us more about your role, head of tournaments marketing?
Actually, my team and I do everything possible and sometimes even impossible to increase the number of people who know about WePlay Esports, who watch our tournaments, who are engaged with our products, and who become a significant part of our community. Because games themselves, they provoke people to unite in different communities, and esports especially.
Absolutely. It sounds like a challenge in the way that's always, you know, hard to manage large communities, but knowing what WePlay has been doing to make their tournaments quite distinctive, I think is a challenge that brings a lot of joy and passion as well. And what do you like the most about this role?
Actually, I like everything, because when it goes to work, that is your life's passion, let's say so, then you just are engaged in every minute of any task, and you have enormous pleasure of working. And the audience reaction is actually everything that you are working for, and the major point that you are aiming for. Yeah. Everything goes about the audience.
Yeah, it's all about the people, right? Like how they're going to respond to what you're doing. It must be very gratifying to see they enjoy the activations on the stream. And please tell me, are you in charge of tournament marketing globally or in specific regions? How does it work at WePlay?
We work globally, but the exact workflow on a tournament depends on several factors. For example, the discipline itself, the languages of broadcast, the participating teams. There was always a significant differentiation in regions, whether these disciplines are liked by audience in NA, for example, or like Dota is more popular in CIS region or China. That is why if we work, for example, with Rocket League, we plan our activities mainly for US region and Western Europe, especially when we do only English broadcast. Then we work only with the English-speaking audience, and we understand their interests, and we plan our activities depending on what story we are going to tell them. If we work with both broadcasts, both Russian and English, or any other broadcast maybe, so we plan different activities for different audience. So everything depends on factors, everything depends on tournaments and on the ideas you want to present to the viewers.
Okay, so there are like many factors because it's a big scale. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're in charge globally and you're in charge of all the titles that we place producing or covering. Okay, so that sounds like a very dynamic environment, I'd say.
It sounds like a rush all the time. Especially when it goes that you have two different tournaments in two different regions simultaneously. That is a real challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like, you know, like once I was preparing for our conversation, I was thinking like, yeah, okay, ahead of tournaments marketing, that sounds like a big thing, like you're really doing a lot. But I think I've just focused, I don't know, somehow on one discipline, and now you're painting this whole picture of, you know, the entire WePlay ecosystem. Like, really impressed. So kudos for managing it all in just, you know, 24 hours a day. That's incredible. But, you know, considering how much there is on your plate, would you be able to actually name one tournament that you've been working on so far and you'd consider your favorite?
I like all of our tournaments because in any tournament, there is an idea that is reminded by the audience. We create lots of memes. We create lots of heroes. We create memories, actually. But in my heart, there always will be two tournaments. These are WePlay Mad Moon and WePlay Any Major. Just because Mad Moon was a separate story with enormously good storytelling, enormously good concept of cyberpunk, with Cybertruck going to the stage, and it was the last tournament before the COVID pandemic broke out. We had a lot of viewers offline. The atmosphere was amazing, and this tournament will always remain in my heart. And we play Any Major because with this tournament, we have created a legend, and I'm not afraid to say that.
I love that. I love that you're proud of your achievements. That's exactly how it should be. Like, tell me more about this legend then. Tell me what's made it turning into a legend.
When we pitched Valve for Bukoval Minor, we pitched the major tournament too. That was the first time when we sent them the Any Major concept, because audience that plays Dota, they loves both anime and Dota. They hate both anime and Dota. And when you unite these two interests, you can create something very special. You can create Any Major, actually. So mm-hmm. Our main task was to implement Dota 2 Heroes and Dota 2 Lore into an anime. And we know that some talents that worked for our broadcast, they hate anime, but they also engaged in this game. For example, Jenkins, who was always very fine when it goes about these kind of cartoons, let's say so. But nevertheless, they engaged in this game, and they created a lot of marvelous content. They helped us a lot with the content ideas. Slacks, for example, we had a lot of Zoom calls at nights when he phoned us and, oh, we play team, you know, we want to create this or that thing. And the whole workflow was so inspiring because everyone enjoyed the theme, everyone enjoyed the concept, everyone wanted to create some kind of a new story plot and to create actually the hero. When we speak about anime concepts and anime plots, there always is a hero who is struggling on his way to compete, who competes with each with other players, let's say, with other heroes. Mm-hmm. But in the end, he achieves his goal. Actually, we did the same. We were struggling with ideas. The teams who competed in during the DPC leagues, they were struggling to achieve this major and to achieve the actually points to go to get the invitational for international tournament. So altogether, everyone was struggling on his way to achieve the goal. The viewers wanted to get perfect tournament that will be the most viewed and the most entertaining. The teams wanted to get points to get to the international, and we wanted to create the legend. And all these storylines connected together in one tournament that is called Animajor. I think that that is the only reason why it has become such a tournament.
It's an absolute legend. I have a weak spot for anime. It's been something I've been enjoying from, like, you know, the age of 11 or something. So seeing that being intertwined in the narrative of esports tournaments and being done so well and successfully, it's just, it's amazing. And it strikes me how comprehensive the process of preparing the tournament is, because you've mentioned about, you know, the interest of the audience, building the hero, like including different themes in the narrative. If you can tell us, how does the process of preparing the tournaments from, like, promotion, marketing look like? I don't know, any like rough to-do list or something like that? What's the step-by-step process? I know it's super complex, but, you know, for the noobs like me and some other people who are not that familiar with the concept.
A rough to-do list is, we need to create a Dota 2 major, for example. When it comes to working with Valve and with Dota, you are working in very short deadlines. For example, we knew that we will be hosting Animajor only 1 month before we needed to host it. So we had 1 month to build the stage, to create all the storylines, to film the content, to get all the teams in Ukraine. And it was COVID pandemic, so we had strict COVID protocols. We needed to quarantine them beforehand. There was still continuing the DPC league, so we had last participants known only 2 weeks before the tournament started, and it was such a rush. It was a marvelous adventure, I can say, but too many processes were not outlined by any to-do list. You just needed to do that for yesterday, and that's all. But when we speak about tournament, abstract one, for example, when you have a lot of time to think over what you want to tell, what message you want to show your audience, then we need to understand that we create the storyline, for example. We create the concept, the idea, what we want to tell. Then according to the concept, we create the scenographic design, how the studio will look like, how the stage will look like, what costumes we need for the talent crew. According to the concept, then we start working with the studio and with the screenwriters. We create scripts for the content to film. All the team intros, all the media days, all the interviews, specific questions to mention to correlate with the topic of the tournament, some fun content, because we play is keen on fun content especially. Mm-hmm. This helps us a lot when it comes to technical pauses in the broadcast, not to lose the audience, We give them fun content filmed with the talents, with the teams. For example, some fun SFM content, even SFM loops are amazingly working on that issue. We also need to coordinate with different streamers and influencers whom we want to invite to our tournament. For example, Twitch raids or some posts or being present at the venue and saying something about the tournament. A lot of different things and a lot of different ideas. And we also need some engaging activations for the Twitch viewers because they are a part of this story. Non-tournament can exist without viewers, because if no one sees your product doesn't exist. That is why engaging viewers in all these storylines is vital. And we create different engaging activities on stream. We create activities in our social media because as soon as a viewer is engaged in your story, he will stay with you because he will be a part of the tournament, an essential part, actually.
Yes, sorry, just one, it's wonderful. You're giving me this whole list and then I just have this perception of you fitting in all in one month.
Sorry, just had to say. I had a marvelous team. There's your real superheroes in creating everything very quick and very complex. And all of them loves their jobs, and that's awesome, I think.
Yes, fortunate. That's great. How many people are on the team?
Up to 25, depending on different tournaments, but up to 25 cool. people are working on tournaments.
Cool, so you have an army of dedicated, passionate, great professionals to deliver the legends with you. I love that.
Yeah. Great. We play games, we love games, we love the audience. That is why we are able to create such wonderful products.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like on the topic of the wonderful product, let me get back to Animator for a moment in the context of what you've just said about, you know, this whole process that, you know, never exists in reality, but could be ideal on the to-do list. And so just out of curiosity for me, how did the idea of anime being a part of the tournament came up? Was that, I know, the product of a brainstorming session, or was that something you knew that you'd like to do? Like, how was that, you know, achieved?
We pay a lot of attention to audience interests, different one, not only games, because a player who is playing Dota now, he will also watch a film some minutes later, he will eat some food, he will listen to some music, and all of these things create his or her personality. That is why it is very interesting and very helpful for us to combine all these interests together. As I mentioned, we spend a lot of time on Reddit and in Dota especially. We see all these fan arts based on different anime stories connected with Dota. Fan arts on players. We see the interest of the audience. That was the time when the Netflix anime Dragon's Blood was announced. So actually, it was not a brainstorm. It was an idea that came to us right from the start. We knew that it will be legend because when it comes to anime, every plot, every narrative is a legend itself. And it is very different because there are a lot of different fans and a lot of different genres of anime. For example, someone likes Naruto and all these stories about boys becoming heroes. Some other people like Hayao Miyazaki and all these narrative plots.
That's someone. Me. Yes,
I am a fan of Miyazaki. He's awesome.
Yes, yes.
Someone even may like Bible Black, and it is also an anime, and he will also be right. But combining all these plots together and creating a new one was our main idea, and we managed to do it. So idea came to us right from the start with the game of words, like combining word anime and major together, becoming animager.
Yeah.
It was just vivid for us right from the start.
And this is wonderful. Like, you know, it's such a community-driven initiative, something that proves that there is a value in creating this conversation with your audience. And I think that WePlay is really excellent in that, like, really great. Like, it's that just the part of the big part of listening on the socials and the networks, that people are understanding who they are as the human beings, and, you know, to give them this experience online and, well, offline before COVID, hopefully soon enough also, that will come back. But how does it look for you? What's, like, the biggest challenge in providing the same level of, you know, fan engagement for the tournaments once they happen online and offline?
Online presence will also be bigger than offline, because mm-hmm. you can collect together at a venue, for example, 8,000 people or up to 20,000 people maximum. But when it comes to online viewership, you will have hundreds of people. But you need offline venue and viewers for the atmosphere, because teams will see this energy that comes from the viewers. You will see this energy, and you will know that everything you have done is not in vain. And the broadcast picture will be perfect, because the atmosphere and the energy that viewers are delivering to the venue and the teams will be also seen in the broadcast. And when online viewers are engaged in the broadcast, they are engaged via different activities, they're engaged via different content, they will feel actually mostly the same as offline viewers, but they have different motivation to watch. For example, when it comes to offline visitors, they came mainly for atmosphere, the same as sport viewers, for example. So you come to a stadium to watch football, you want to support your favorite team, you want to shout out for your favorite team, and you come mainly for the atmosphere and this excitement. When you watch a tournament online, there are different motivations of doing that. You are watching to learn something new, for example, some tactics, some tricks from the professional players, to support your team or favorite player, as usual, or just spend some time because you had spare time, you opened Twitch and you saw that there is a tournament going on, why not to watch it? So if to speak about engagement offline of the offline viewers, then the main thing for them is to collect the best teams from all over the world in one place and give them the show they deserve. That's all.
Sounds simple, but, you know, with the whole story that we've presented leading to this statement now, I already know that this is quite complex, complex mission to accomplish. But it's great. It's great. And you've said a lot about, you've mentioned that quite many times about the on-stream activations and keeping the audience during the breaks, etc. Can you tell me a bit more about that? How, like, what does it mean? You know, what it is, the on-stream activation and fan content?
There are different ways to engage viewers while they are watching a broadcast. For example, you can have some questionnaires via Twitch chat. That is the simplest thing that can be used. During the Animager, we used graphic novels. So we've prepared several plots with Dota 2 heroes drawn saying some things. And there were several variants of what to answer. The chat voted what to answer to these heroes, and then another storyline appeared. To create this entertaining activity, we involved 12 different artists from all over the world. We had one artist from Myanmar, two from Germany, two from Ukraine, from Russia, from the United States. Actually, lots of pictures to be animated, and lots of story plots and storylines written in order for viewers to vote one or two and to actually to start a new storyline. But it was wonderful. It was very entertaining. Even the talent crew was arguing what to answer to Hierocopter or Dark Willow. It was fun. This also is quite similar to anime, because graphic novels are widely used in different Japanese games and are used actually in anime series. That is why creating such novels was rather a vivid solution, but rather entertaining.
Yeah, that's great. That shows once again that you understand well your audience. It's so natural for the theme, and it fits. It was like adapted to the needs of the on-stream entertainment. That's great. And you know, like speaking of greatness, I've had the pleasure to work with the WePlay team for quite a few times, and I must say that you have a group of really wonderful women on board. And do you think it becomes more natural that we see more women joining esports? And in which roles would you like to see, more women joining esports?
I think that it is not my desire to see more women in some kind of roles in esports. It's just the desires and wishes and ambitions of every woman, whether they want to work in esports or not. Because I see the interests, a lot of interest in women's interest to games. There are a lot of girl gamers. There are a lot of female teams, and that's awesome because it makes our industry more different. With different people come different minds, different opinions, different options, different ideas. And that is always awesome. I think that if a woman wants to work in esports, only devil can stop her. Or even he doesn't want, if he wants, of course. But everything depends on person's wishes and ambitions.
I absolutely agree, and I think that from my perspective, what I think is important is to show the opportunities within the industry, and then, like you said, if women wants to work there, then even devil can have some struggles stopping her, right? that's important. And let's refer to the circumstances we are in now. I'm sorry to ask this question, but how did the ongoing war influence your work?
It was hard. Actually, on the 24th of February, our lives became different. Because it will never be the same, and we will never forget all these things, and we will never forgive. I am completely sure on that. I was in Dubai with part of my team when the war started. We were working on the project where WePlay Esports was involved. It was Gamers Galaxy Dota 2 Invitational Series. And we were horrified we didn't know what to do because we had to continue our work, but all our relatives, our families, all our dearest and nearest were there in Ukraine. And Russia continued bombing our cities. We didn't have enough sleep because for some of us, the reason to be awake was to know that everything is okay with your family. We had some issues with guilt complex because we were not there. We couldn't help. And it was hard. It is still hard. The news are still horrifying. Most of our team is working remotely now because not all of them were able to leave Ukraine. They are still working in Kyiv. They are still working in other Ukrainian cities. Some of them moved abroad, but we continue working because work keeps us in fit and keeps us from negative thoughts. And we communicate all the time because knowing that all of your people are safe is the most vital thing now. The question, are you safe, is the same as I love you actually. And it sounds even more heartwarming than all the words that were said before. I don't know. We just want to help, and we do our best to help fighting in this war. We play esports, has terminated all the partnership with aggression country. We have stopped all the agreements with companies from Russia and from Belarus because we see no way how to work with them right now. And I don't think that there will be a way how we can work with them in future because we will never forgive. Everything has changed. After this war, every one of us will come with different values, with different thoughts, and will be enormously proud that he or she is Ukrainian. Our founders have contributed over $3 million to help Ukraine, and they are buying all these military assets now and helping to fight in this war. And I'm very proud of them, of my team, of Ukraine. And I am praying as much as I have never prayed before. Because if a God exists, then now he is wearing a form of military forces of Ukraine. And we will win. I know that.
You win. And you will be. It won't be the same, but it will be a reason to be proud of. I'm sure about that, and there are no words that can comment on what you've just said. And but let's end on maybe more positive note, and something to speak about the future, because there are many people now who definitely consider joining the esports industry. And if you were to give one piece of advice to someone who's just about to enter the our industry, esports industry, is willing to work on the tournament organizer side, maybe specifically in the marketing for tournaments, what would it be? What would you advise someone like that?
I will advise not to be afraid of your own ideas. Even insane ideas can bring something very special and entertaining. And I will advise not to give up. Sometimes it takes a lot of time to become a person you want to be and to work in the sphere you want to work. But until you never give up, you will achieve everything.
Thank you. That's beautiful. And thank you for this great conversation. It's really inspiring. And it also, I believe, will help many people to understand what's the tournament marketing, how the tournaments work, marketing look like. And you're an incredible person running it all. Speaking that, absolutely, you know, honestly, understanding now the scale of it and the diversity of the task within. Well, kudos for all of that. And thanks, Irina. It was great having you today on It's Her Game.
Thank you for the invitation.